Hello, good morning. Let's turn to Psalm 97. Psalm 97. The Lord reigns, let the earth rejoice, let the many islands be glad. Clouds and thick darkness surround him. Righteousness and justice are the foundation of his throne. Fire goes before him and burns up his adversaries round about. His lightnings lit up the world, the earth saw and trembled. The mountains melted like wax at the presence of the Lord, at the presence of the Lord of the whole earth. The heavens declare his righteousness, and all the peoples have seen his glory. Let all those be ashamed who serve graven images, who boast themselves of idols. Worship him, all you gods. Zion heard this and was glad, and the daughters of Judah have rejoiced because of thy judgments, O Lord. For thou art our Lord most high over all the earth. Thou art exalted far above all gods. Hate evil, you who love the Lord, who preserves the souls of his godly ones. He delivers them from the hand of the wicked. Light is sown like seed for the righteous, and gladness for the upright in heart. Be glad in the Lord, you righteous ones, and give thanks to his holy name. Amen. Psalm 97 is part of kind of this block that we have here in the 90s about the character of the Lord, about the goodness of God. And so it starts here, and it's talking about the Lord reigns, let the earth rejoice. You have to remember that this psalm is written in the backdrop of other gods. Other gods and deities during this time were evil. Like, they were, like, greatly, greatly to be feared. They are to be kind of terrified. That's why you would have to have a lot of ritual sacrifices of humans, you know, of babies, you know, all kinds of things to basically quench the anger of the idols. But now we have a Lord here, Yahweh, who reigns. He's not, you know, there's a group of Christians called the deists. And the deists believe that God was like a master watchmaker. And he created the world so beautifully. He wound it up like a watch and he just leaves it alone. But that's clearly not what this passage is saying. He says he reigns. He is like a king reigning on a throne. He is actively involved in the goings-on of his peoples. And so the Lord reigns. The Lord's in charge. The Lord is active. The Lord is present. The Lord is doing things. He reigns. And so let all the earth rejoice. Let the many islands, or better translated, coastlands, be glad. Clouds and thick darkness surround him. This would be kind of akin to the Exodus, where the clouds would cover the sun and these things, and so it's giving kind of that word picture, and this is key. The end of verse 2, and righteousness and justice are the foundation of his throne. Think about this: righteousness and justice. Going back to what I shared earlier. With other gods, you are not guaranteed this at all. It's totally upon the whims of the gods. There is no sense of order. There is clearly no sense of righteousness that's there. And I know this is kind of like a more popular culture than anything else. But have you seen that movie Thor: Love and Thunder? I know this sounds so weird. But Thor: Love and Thunder, there's this a portrait of, you know, and Christian Bale plays the God Slayer. Because the gods are uninterested in people in this particular movie. But really, that sets a pretty good backdrop of kind of this thinking in antiquity. They're unconcerned with the fate of people. They're just about their own power. They're just about their own wealth. They're just about people glorifying them, and that's it. There's nothing else that's there. There is no righteousness. There's clearly no justice. And so thus, you know, this God Slayer needs to rise up and bring about justice in a certain way. And I mean, I love this. Righteousness and justice are the foundation of his throne. Brothers and sisters, God cannot be anything but righteous. God cannot be anything but just. He cannot operate in injustice, and he cannot operate in unrighteousness. I mean, to prove that point even more, we have the great picture of the cross. Remember when Jesus was hanging on the cross, and the scriptures tell us that sin had totally overwhelmed the Son of God. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21, him who knew no sin, he says, became sin in our behalf. And so we see the depiction, the darkness covers the earth when sin is placed upon Christ at the cross. And so God the Father and God the Spirit, this is totally supernatural. I don't know how it works, but they abandoned God the Son on the cross because he becomes sin. He is, we'll use theological words, he is the propitiation of our sins at that moment. He literally becomes sin. And so the Father and the Spirit, because they cannot operate in unrighteousness. They cannot operate in the place of injustice. So they remove themselves. And then the Lord cries out, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani? You know, my God, why have you forsaken me? And he feels that forsakenness. And you see this, righteousness and justice are the foundation of his throne. Timothy says, even when we're faithless, he remains faithful, for he cannot deny himself. In other words, he cannot be anything but faithful. In that same way, he cannot be anything but righteous. He cannot be anything but just. And so this is why we rejoice. This is why the earth rejoices. There's a semblance, and this is not just talking about the people. We'll get to that in a moment. But this is why the earth can rejoice, because it's like, oh, finally, there is justice. Finally, there is righteousness. I mean, you could look at kingdoms and peoples and even creation itself groaning and longing for this righteousness to come down. But this is the foundation of his throne. His throne is not, the foundation is not power. The foundation of his throne is not might. The foundation of his throne is not, you know, all these things that we see in the world around us and throughout history. It's righteousness and justice. This is the foundation of his kingship or his rule. Remember, it starts off, the Lord reigns. What is the foundation of his reign? It's righteousness and justice. And that should give us a huge, huge relief, but also should give us impetus, each one, to worship the Lord. We can worship him because, man, he is righteous and he's just. The decisions that he makes, right, they are pure before him. He says fire goes before him and burns up his adversaries round about. This is the part of the justice that takes place. This is part of the judgment that happens. And a lot of people say, oh, this is really unfair of God to judge the world, blah, 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 blah. But the reality is because the righteousness and justice are the foundation. And so when God makes a judgment, guess what? It's going to be a righteous judgment. The thing that I hear a lot of time people say is, oh, that's unfair. Unfairness is not part of who God is. God is always fair. He can't be anything but fair. And so fire goes before him, burns up his adversaries round about, which will be fair and just. His lightnings lit up the world. The earth saw and trembled. We see this incredible picture of his justice and what happens here. The mountains melted like wax at the presence of the Lord, at the presence of the Lord of the whole earth. And so he goes, it's interesting, in verse 5, the mountains melted like wax at the presence of Yahweh and at the presence of Adonai, right, of the whole earth. And so these are derivatives of the names of God. What happened later on, Adonai became a title, but then through course of time actually became a name because they refused or they dare not use the holy name of Yahweh. And so we see, you know, his names being lifted up at this time. The heavens, again, declare his righteousness. This is what goes on in heaven. The heavens know clearly that he is righteous, and they're constantly declaring it. And it's for the people to also declare. We may not know. This is why it takes that place of faith that brings us to this. And all the peoples have seen his glory. We have evidence of this. Then verse 7, let all those be ashamed who serve graven images, who boast themselves of idols. This is why, right, we don't operate in idolatry. The idols, they're fake. The idols, they are not righteous. They are not just in any way. In fact, at some point, they will worship the Lord. It says, worship him, all you gods. Right, all you little gods, this is what's going to happen. At some point, you're going to come and you're going to worship him yourself. So Zion, this is the Israelites, heard this and was glad. So now, remember, it's the earth should rejoice. Now the people of God are rejoicing in this place. The daughters of Judah have rejoiced. Why? Because of thy judgments, O Lord. You have to remember the Israelites, some of the most persecuted people, you know, on this planet. And we're not even talking about the Holocaust, you know, at this stage. And so you could imagine the daughters of Judah, this meaning all the Israelite people, they're so full of joy because of his judgments, because he's going to judge righteously. He's going to judge with fairness. But the reality is that he's going to judge. That should bring joy to anyone who is persecuted and going through a time of injustice. For thou art the Lord Most High over all the earth. You are exalted far above all gods. That's a hymn, by the way, if you haven't caught that. Right? You are the Lord Most High, God. You reign over all the earth, and you are far more exalted than any god. Gods are lowly. Only the Most High God stands in that place. So how do we respond? So how are we to maneuver in this world? Or you know, as Francis Schaeffer said, how now shall we live? And so we come to this place knowing that he's righteous, knowing that he's pure, knowing that he's a God of justice that cannot be unjust or any way. And so this is how we should respond. Hate evil, you who love the Lord. Now think about how powerful this statement is. Because there's a lie. There is a cultural lie coming upon the Church of Jesus that says that one of the highest forms of love is tolerance. And it's not. Right? That comes from the pit of hell. It says, hate evil. We are people to hate evil. Now, we don't hate evil people or people who do evil, but that sin itself, we're supposed to hate it, all those who love the Lord. That means if you love the Lord, right, akin to that is also hating the evil. The problem is that we're not very good at that. We think we love the Lord, but we're very tolerant of evil. In fact, we play around with evil. We get as close to evil as we can, thinking that we're not going to cross a line, and eventually, guess what? We cross the line because evil is powerful. He says, hate evil, right? Don't get caught in this cultural, you know, mumbo jumbo about tolerance. It doesn't exist. If we love the Lord, we hate evil. We don't tolerate it by any means. And so hate evil, you who love the Lord, who preserves the souls of his godly ones. We may, listen, we may go through difficult times. Our bodies may be going through times of temptation. Our minds, all kinds of things, but our souls, you know, that very thing that remains forever, that very thing is kind of the essence of who we are. He says he preserves. The word preserves is probably better translated as guards. And so he guards the souls of his godly ones. Right? Like I said, you know, we our bodies may be given over, other parts of us may be given over. We may go through trials and temptations and all these things, but he guards, he preserves our soul, the very essence of who we are. And he delivers them from the hand of the wicked. We will not be destroyed in this place. We might be scarred, we might get beat up, it might be a very strenuous in these things, but we will not be destroyed. He delivers them from the hand of the wicked. Light is sown like seed for the righteous, and gladness for the upright in heart. What is the reward? I mean, what is the reward for those who live righteously? Joy. Joy. You get to have life full of joy. Be glad in the Lord, you righteous ones, and give thanks to his holy name. Right? We who walk in this, right? This is, remember, 10, 11, 12 is really the response. We who walk in this gets what? We get to be glad. We get to have the joy of the Lord in our lives. And thus, we give thanks to his holy name. Amen. What a beautiful psalm. The Lord reigns, right? Let the earth rejoice. So let's close our eyes. In reflection of that, is there anything in our life right now that maybe we're saying, Lord, this is a bit unfair? Maybe we are protesting some of the things that God is doing. And that will happen at times. You know, we may not have revelation and understanding, so we may have seasons like that. But in the midst of that, is there something inside of us that's saying, Lord, this is unfair? I want to ask you to go before the Lord and change your mind. Because his foundations of his rule and reign are righteousness and justice. He is always fair. He can't be anything but fair. Let's go before the Lord.
Me and why bringing you That's why I sing your praise. Ever be on my lips, ever be on my lips, your praise.
Continue to praise the Lord for His righteousness and His justice. Let's praise Him with our prayers. Let's thank Him for who He is. He is a righteous, just God. He is always fair. He cannot be unfair. It goes against the very essence of who He is. And like I said, if you have accuse God lately in our hearts about unfairness or anything like that, I said, change your mind. Go back to the Word. See what the Word has to say about His character, about who He is. And thus offer up the proper worship. Let's pray. Go to our prayers for our friends and family going through cancer. Let's pray for God's healing word. Let's pray for our community that are battling through illness but also needs to be saved. Now let's pray for physical healing. Let's pray for the word of salvation. Cancer-related illnesses, and let's pray for God's healing. Let's pray for our community looking for work. Let's pray for God's provision and open doors. Let's go to our mission focus and let's pray for our friends ministering in Japan, for Jungmin and Hyunjin, SP Tokyo. Let's pray for SP New York with Kelly and Jess, and let's pray for Kelly in India. Let's lift up these countries and lift up our warriors. Let's cover our missions council and let's ask God to use them to really bring about just the missional purposes of God through our church. Let's lift up. SP fam, let's ask that the kids in our care right now be well taken care of, that the Holy Spirit would do a deep work in their lives, that they would know that they're not abandoned, but they are loved by the Father. Let's pray. Let's pray for our gatherings tonight, the intercessor prayer team. Let's pray that they would just pray the purposes of God. Let's pray for the youth group, that they would continue to grow, especially after just their experience at the retreat. And let's pray for the college kids as well. Let's lift them up. Let's pray for our ladies that are pregnant and their families. Let's pray for their baby in the womb. They'll be protected. Let's pray for the health of the mother and pray for the husband and any kids that may be there. Let's just pray for just protection over the whole family. For house church meeting tonight, and let's pray for our leaders, pray for our hosts, and just the people of God would gather together and really be able to pray for each other and just really follow up just from the retreat that we just had. Let's pray this morning. Lord, the whole earth, God, trembles at your feet. The Lord reigns. Lord, we thank you, God, that righteousness and justice, God, are your foundations. And so, Lord, we pray, God, that you would move in those ways over our lives, God. That you would help us, Lord. That sometimes there'll be times where we start questioning you, God. But Lord, help us never to use that phrase that, Lord, you're not fair. Forgive us if we ever utter those words, God. Because you are God, you cannot be unfair. It's not who you are. And so help us, Lord. And we thank you. We pray, God, that we would, as a result, God, of this truth, though, that we would live holy lives before you. God, we thank you. Strengthen us, Lord. We love you, God. And in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. God bless you. Enjoy the rest of your prayer time, and we'll see you this weekend at church.